like we're in a Tom and Jerry cartoon with that music going on. It has that little sound to it, doesn't it? Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Let me introduce our panel to you. It's very nice to have them with us as well. WAMC's Alan Shartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Oh, well. Anything else you'd like to say? Can we just cut you out of the show?
Is everything all right?
No, I went to the Berkshire Hills town meeting last night. And the anti-educationalists who claim that I'm for education, but defeated the budget.
That's amazing.
It was not good.
Well.
So.
Okay. I understand. Well, we'll talk about other things that'll make us all make that noise probably, but we'll get to that in just a minute. Mike Spain is with us as well. He's the associate editor of the Times Union newspaper and our dear friend here on most Tuesdays, and when we beg him, he'll be here tomorrow as well.
Good morning. We love Mike.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Good morning, Mike. And Libby Post, who normally is here Monday and Wednesdays, but is not able to be with us tomorrow. Because Rosemary is out, was able to be with us today. So
yes.
We thank you very much for doing that. Very nice to have you here. Of course, a political consultant, and always wonderful to have Libby with us. We post all of our segments online at WAMC.org. A reminder, the roundtable panel conversation is available. It's posted by 1 o'clock. We keep on getting mail of people saying, oh, you know, I can't find it. And then I go and I look for it, and it's right there. So if you go to the roundtable page and you look for which is for that date, the first thing listed, right? And then you click on it, you can listen to it. But don't worry, if you can't find it and you write us a note, we'll send you a link and everything will be fine. All will be right with the world.
And it's very easy to find on your app, smartphone app. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Mike. And all you have to do is go to WAMC.org to get the app. It's all very simple.
It's so easy.
We try to make it simple. Good on that. We also want to remind you that you can join us at WAMC, roundtable at WAMC.org.
You could write to us, yes. You write us right over there, and we'll look at your letter.
And we'll consider it.
We'll look at your letter.
We'll consider it. And I don't know. I don't know. Okay, where are we right now? Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. I just got a note that made it sound like we were not doing what we were supposed to do, but we are doing what we're supposed to do. Okay. Good morning. Let me get to our panel discussions for today and tell you what is happening and what's going on in the world. We begin with North Carolina and the dueling lawsuits there. This has been a story for several weeks now, and now the Justice Department is fighting back, and this was obviously somewhat expected, but North Carolina and the Justice Department announced dueling lawsuits on Monday over the state's bathroom bill, which has become the epicenter of a larger fight over transgender rights. The two complaints, filed several hours apart, took opposing sides in the debate over the law which bans transgender people from using bathrooms that don't match the gender on their birth certificates. While the state said its law does not discriminate against transgender people or treat transgender employees differently from non-transgender employees, the Justice Department's Civil Rights Office said the measure is discriminatory and violates civil rights. Quick quote from the Attorney General Loretta Lynch, who said this action is about a great deal more than just bathrooms.
Well, yeah, and she gave a very eloquent
talk
yesterday, and you know, made the link to all the other people who had been discriminated against in the history of the United States. Here's what I'm interested in, and pardon me, it might get to the Supreme Court.
That's right.
We have a different Supreme Court. and with the absence of Scalia, depending on what the judge does before it gets to the Supreme Court, might make a huge difference.
I think that this case will get to the Supreme Court, and with Kennedy being the swing, as it were, on these issues, if they strike this law down, they will then say discrimination against LGBT people across the land is illegal, and we will stop the dichotomy of, oh, you can get married in North Carolina, but you can get fired for getting married in North Carolina. Mm. You can't use the bathroom. I mean, what she said yesterday, I watched the speech and it was very eloquent, but what she said, which was so heartening, was, "We see you, we stand with you, and we will do everything we can to protect you." And that was specifically to the transgender community, which has been so incredibly invisible until Caitlyn Jenner, you know, came onto the scene, as it were. But this bathroom bill is not just about going to the bathroom and the bathroom police, but it outlawed any local municipality from protecting lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. That's what people aren't getting. They're always focusing on the bathroom, which is an absurd issue to begin with.
It's a non-issue.
This
was not a problem.
No, it was not a problem. I mean, Mike Huckabee said, "Oh, I would get dressed up in a dress if that meant I could go into a girl's room when you know, when he was younger." But that's not being transgender. I'm sorry, that's just being an idiot and a pig. And so, you know, this is a non-issue. There is no incidences of transgender people assaulting anyone in a bathroom.
What were you going to say, Mike?
No, I was going to say I agree. It is a much broader issue. It's about a state that stepped in after the city of Charlotte had an enlightened law that protected the rights of transgender to go whichever bathroom they chose. And that probably was more symbolic than real. It just made an assertion that this is a right that we respect. And now the state of North Carolina, in a very divided political state, you know, there's some very progressive Democrats and liberals, and there's some very conservative Republicans and a lot of moderates. And it's probably going to play out in the next gubernatorial election, where the state attorney general, who's a Democrat, who does not plan to enforce this law in the state and says so, is challenging the incumbent governor, who's been pushing this down the road here. So it's really symbolic about whether a locality can take the action to protect someone's rights, and whether they it's also a great it unifies people who are scared of transgenders, I guess.
Well, but it's also even more than the legalities of this, because in the end the legalities may in fact follow public opinion. It's as the shadow used to say, "What evils lurk in the hearts of man."
Right.
So what'd you say?
The shadow.
The shadow knows. And if in fact that's the governor is counting on the fact that public opinion is with him, that's what he's thinking.
That's right. He is. And but this state has, it's costing them billions of dollars to do this, and they're standing up and saying, "We're not going to let the government bully us. The federal government bully us. They're going to lose education aid. They're losing business, tourism money."
But don't you see? It's not. It's the billions of dollars is irrelevant to the governor who wants to win re-election. Let the billions go. I'm going to play to the fears passion.
Although I have to say, again, this is very anecdotal, but I was talking to my brother who lives in North Carolina, and over the weekend, and we were talking about this issue, and he said, he lives in a tourist part of the on the shore, and said that they're getting battered because people are canceling their reservations for their summer rentals, they're canceling their vacations, and it's got a lot of people very, very concerned about the nature of business and what kind of summer this is going to be for an area that depends on that for its very livelihood. So I guess I ask you, Alan, because I agree with you, but I wonder at some point if it's playing to the fears that at some point the pocketbook does start to hurt and they say, okay, can we talk about this so it doesn't kill us so we can actually put food on the table?
I suspect that governor is polling. And is trying to figure out, you know, which is more important. I couldn't agree with your brother more. I'll tell you, we were in Asheville not that long ago, and it is a beautiful city, and dependent upon tourists and wonderful.
We were supposed to. We have a free week. I won a free week in the Outer Banks. We're not going to go until this is getting resolved. Yeah. I mean, we just can't go and give them money.
How do you think it can be resolved? How can the governor of North Carolina walk back on this? He has gone out and gone national. You know, he's been on every morning talk show on the Sunday morning talk shows, and he has made it firm that this is his position in taking on the Justice Department in their
He thinks it's helping him.
Yeah.
He thinks it's helping him.
Well, we'll see what happens in November. You know, because people do vote with their pocketbooks.
Well, November's a different time because, remember, you'll have a presidential election, and Democrats do tend to turn out in larger numbers in presidential years than otherwise. So he may well lose, but maybe not on this.
Well, Hillary Clinton is about within five points ahead of Trump in North Carolina in the very early polls, all subject to change, I realize.
Sure.
But, you know, that'll be a factor. You're right. Yeah.
And meanwhile, I should note that as of 2 weeks ago, there was a poll taken within the state of North Carolina by the Charlotte Observer saying that 51% support the legislature overturning the Charlotte bathroom provision. So that's
pretty narrow.
It is a very narrow.
Some of the legislators who had voted for it are saying they would, if given the chance, change their vote, and they didn't realize the implications of it. And now the question is whether it will come up for another vote.
Right, and whether if it passes, whether he'll veto it.
Meanwhile, in Alabama.
Yeah.
There is.
I know.
Roy Moore, our good friend Roy Moore, his attorney says that he believes the Alabama Court of the Judiciary will hold a hearing early this summer on judicial ethics charges filed last week against the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court related to his January order on gay marriage.
Well, this guy has quite a reputation.
He certainly does.
And you will get a letter, Joe, from somebody who says, "Dear Joseph, I can't imagine you're calling Roy Moore your good friend." It was sardonic. I just want to point that out.
It was very sardonic. And because this is a guy who has been around for a long time and embroiled in a whole...
he got thrown out, then he got reelected. I mean,
It's Alabama, for goodness sake.
Alabama, the Ten Commandments statue with public money used in the courthouse and so forth. So... A lot of this has been complained about, and he has paid various prices, but then has come roaring back. So we'll see what happens.
Let me ask you guys this: in North Carolina, one of the issues is they don't want the federal government coming in and telling them what to do.
Right.
It's certainly the case in Alabama. I mean, there's a history of angst between the federal government over issues of civil rights and voting rights, et cetera, and. Can it create a backlash where people aren't particularly, they might be neutral or not have strong feelings about gay marriage or transgender rights, but they just don't like Washington breathing down their neck and coming in and telling them what to do? It's a state's rights issue.
Well, that's a very good point, and that is exactly what these despots are counting on, to happen, and that is the history of the place. Did you know that Alabama is the white suit capital of the United States? More white suits are sold per capita in Alabama.
Well, that has to do with the warm temperatures and the sunshine.
Yes. Right.
I made that whole thing up.
No. There's a restaurant somewhere in Alabama, I saw this on Facebook, who is saying, who's giving out free desserts to people who use the bathroom of
the gender other than their birth certificate?
Right. The bathroom they're comfortable being in, and so they'll get a free dessert. I thought that was great. I mean, it just shows that not everybody down south is a bigot.
Was it a particular kind of dessert? I mean, did they name the dessert?
No, dessert of your choice.
What?
Which kind of dessert would you like?
What, you think I'm going somewhere?
Yes, I did too, and let's change the subject, shall we?
I was thinking of exactly where you were going. Okay.
Right.
All right, let's. We do have a couple of letters. Let's get to those. We have many letters, actually.
Actually, my machine here, I don't... Oh, yeah, there it is. I got it now.
Okay, great.
Yeah, okay. John says, in one of the bathroom bill used against a lesbian in one of the states... With these bathroom bills, a misguided, quote, butch lesbian was arrested for trying to use the ladies' room. So this is a much broader attack.
Well, I go, look, I'm pretty butch. You know, anybody who knows me, I present. I'm pretty butch. And every time I walk into a bathroom at the state on the three-way, I stand up ramrod straight and look straight ahead because I'm always on alert that someone's going to start in with me. I mean, but we live in New York. But those things are happening. There was a case of a woman who was sitting in the bathroom, and the cops
came. Wait a second.
Sitting
where?
Sitting on the toilet. In the bathroom. And the cops came in and dragged her
Yeah, I heard that story too.
And where was that?
Where was that? Down North Carolina, somewhere.
And she had it on tape, right?
Yeah. She. No, the one who got arrested. Well, waiting in line, got it on tape.
What's a practical question here? Say you suspect someone of using a bathroom other than that on their birth certificate. Can the cops go in there and, you know, find out for themselves? Do they have a right to inspect?
There's this great video about the bathroom police, about how they're going to do that.
Bathroom police.
Yes. I mean, what are they going to do, really? I mean, my attitude is, if somebody in the bathroom really challenged me, I'd just drop my pants.
Okay.
That's all. Okay. I really would.
Bonnie,
no one here will challenge you.
Right. Bonnie, give me a break.
Bonnie checks in and says, ID? Question mark.
Panel, ID what?
Panel, when was the last time in any public bathroom someone demanded to see your birth certificate? I don't know. I go there to pee like everyone else.
Yeah.
I only dread long lines. Just kidding, Bonnie. Yeah, don't you see?
Will this have any impact on SPAC during the big concerts the summer?
There are many women who have
been
liberated.
I was just at an event at the Times Union Center last week, and the women's line is they're around the bend. The men's room, there's no line, so it was all the women were in the men's room.
Well, thankfully, we live in New York, and no one's going to arrest us for that.
No one was complaining, by the way. Go ahead.
From Wes, I'm a 17-year-old trans kid, and I listen to your show every day. Just wanted to say I love hearing you guys talk about my social issues and advocating for me. One note, I wouldn't name Caitlyn Jenner as the number one trans celebrity.
Me neither.
Laverne Cox is a much more educated spokesperson who more accurately represents the trans community.
We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our program this morning. Very nice to have you with us and to have you engage. Let us talk about some of the other topics that we have on the program this morning. And of course, it wouldn't be a day without talking about the election and what's going on. So yesterday we spent some time talking about the relationship between Donald Trump and Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House. Now, there seems to be somewhat of a conciliatory tone from Donald Trump toward Paul Ryan, eyeing a crucial meeting that will be taking place on Thursday. And this is to, but also there seems to be a part on Paul Ryan. Donald Trump has said that he would like to see Paul Ryan step down as the chair of the convention. Paul Ryan has now said that
He would
do that if he felt
called calling his bluff.
Yes, which also
if he asks him to,
and also
gets him out of it.
Right, gets him out of actually doing it, and
he
being,
doesn't have to go and with
being
everyone
any,
else,
and being any part of that. Sure. So that is sort of where we are. And Mr. Ryan has responded that he would step down. After Mr. Ryan, the nation's highest-ranking elected Republican, said last week that he was not ready to endorse Mr. Trump, Mr. Trump on Sunday refused to rule out blocking Mr. Ryan from the convention role. And both Mr. Trump and Mr. Ryan appeared to be backing away slightly from the confrontation, trying their best to clear the air in Thursday's meeting.
Well, it's clearly not good for either of them, this fight. Because Ryan will be positioning himself to run for president, assuming Hillary wins 2 terms. Ryan's still a young man, and he doesn't need a segment of his party going the other way. And Trump certainly needs help with raising money, which he said in the beginning he didn't want, but now he says he does want. And so they'll go into the room, there'll be pleasantries exchanged, and they'll come out, I believe, either saying nothing's changed or there will be something changed and we won't know about it.
Well, you know, to that point, that does seem to be the pattern with these Donald Trump meetings where we had this with the party leadership a couple of weeks back. We have the meetings, he goes in, he comes out and says they were very pleasant. The people, the Republican head say it was okay, we got this. And then two or three days later, everything starts to deteriorate and they start bashing each other and saying, you know, they did this at the meeting and they did that at the meeting. And then everything kind of devolves.
Yeah, yeah.
That's been the case in the last several big meetings.
Well, Trump has a lot to worry about because, on the one hand, if he loses Joe, the reputation as being an outsider, he's in trouble. In other words, he needs that group who say, but if he walks out with his arm around Ryan, then there will be all these people who say, you know, he's just another one of those guys.
Right, but he needs to be insider in order to raise the money he needs. He's going to need $1 billion.
He has no mechanism. He doesn't have any people on the ground.
He's
doesn't have
nothing.
Any campaign finance, system in place. And that's what the Republican Party could bring him.
You can have the best message. And he's got a message that is galvanizing people. But if you don't have a field operation to turn your people out, you know, and he has only turned out a small segment of the Republican Party, the people who used to not vote. If you don't have the operation to turn people out, you will not win. It's just that simple, and he doesn't have that. He needs to raise, the story said, $1 billion to $1.5 billion.
Isn't that incredible?
That is outrageous.
That is just incredible.
It will take it right out of his pocket, theoretically.
He won't.
Well, no, says that's he doesn't want to. Right?
That's because he doesn't have it.
Does he have it? That's the real
right. I don't think he has it.
Well, a lot of his wealth has to do with his brand.
Yeah, one big shell game.
He's a bankruptcy guy. Remember that?
No, four.
And remember the other day when he kept talking about he was the master of debt, and he wanted to basically argue with the people who we owe money to in the United States, which sent shockwaves through everybody internationally over a place, and then walked it back.
Didn't we get in trouble when we just printed money and there was no value behind the money?
Well, no, that's what we do now.
Oh, is that what we do now?
We're in trouble. Just for the record, we're in trouble.
Yes, right.
But I think you're so right, Alan. He has this fine line he has to walk. He has to continue to look like an outsider, and yet he desperately needs to have the support of the mainline Republican Party and many of its leaders. Without it, he can't win.
And his colleague from Alaska went so far as to go a little too far. He had to walk that back also.
She might be the only one willing to run as vice president, though.
Well, she proposed that they put up a challenge to Paul Ryan home district.
No, it's going to be New Jersey. He's going to, the bridge man is going to do it.
Oh, wow. That'll be
so
fun.
He named him to the transition team yesterday.
It's sort of
I
think.
Rearranging the furniture on the Titanic, you know, or changing the curtains in the White House. He's not even there.
There's some advantage to having Christie. I mean, basically, you get two very vociferous individuals who could be at different ends of the country revving up people's, emotions. I mean, he's in the same
vein.
Doesn't
help him geographically.
Right.
Yes.
And as a 2,000-year-old man might have said, first he made Jewish stars, remember that, and then he made crosses, and he made a lot on that. But the biggest item in this election, if Christie is the vice presidential nominee, will be the little lapel pins of bridges, won't it?
Right, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Well, the farther away you get from New York and New Jersey, people don't understand that bridge gate quite as much. So it might actually be an advantage to Christie.
We got to remind them.
Yeah. The further you get away, the less they're going to want to talk to him.
Well, he's an animated person, and maybe that would bring a lot of attention. He might bring out the press when he would go around the country.
Oh, he will.
Let me also ask about, there was a bit of a kerfuffle, I don't know if you all got to hear it yesterday, between Chris Cuomo of CNN's New Day and Donald Trump. And Chris Cuomo asked the question about the attacks on Hillary Clinton and specifically about Hillary Clinton's marriage and the quote, sham of a marriage with Bill Clinton, and also that he was a serial philanderer and that she was an enabler.
Yeah, now, this is Chris Cuomo bringing this up?
This was Chris Cuomo asking a question because Trump had repeatedly was saying this at speeches. And Cuomo was asking him about this, bringing it up as a topic.
Right.
Trump took great offense to this being brought up and said, well, that's a nice question. He said, well, that's what is on the front page of the newspaper today. It's what everybody's talking about. So would you like to talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
And they got into it. And I have to say that I thought Chris Cuomo held his own as well as he could. And
was that a shot?
What do you mean?
When you said as well as he could.
Well, I think it was as well as he could against Trump, who just kept on kind of grandstanding on it and saying, you know, you set me up and I hate CNN.
Here's the point, Joe.
This is the Clinton News Network and so forth. The point is this going to – you already are having trouble with the women vote. You're already having trouble with that constituency. What does this help do other than fire up Hillary Clinton's base?
Joe, he is looking to his base, and he believes that's what they believe, that, you know, he is a serial philanderer. That's what they believe.
And so is Donald Trump.
But the terrible thing here – the terrible thing is the blaming Hillary for his philandering.
Right.
That's the terrible thing.
He called her an enabler.
Right.
That's his term. It's this
innuendo that if she was a better wife, he wouldn't have had to go and look someplace else.
That certainly seems to be the subtext.
Right, which is just insane, you know. But he's one to talk, you know. He has his own history with three wives.
But he's a man.
Yeah, no kidding. That's the difference. They're allowed to do it. So
It's disgusting.
Sort of, it is. And I'm sort of quizzical about why he wouldn't be saying, Bill did the right thing. Buck him up on the back because I did the same thing. You know, you got to get it when you can get it. I mean, it's just gross. It's just he's a misogynist.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this will last as an issue for him. I mean, all the Bill Clinton dalliances, Monica Lewinsky, et cetera, was done 20 years ago. Yeah. I mean,
it'll last if he can make it last. Hmm. If it doesn't work, he'll get on to something else.
But it doesn't. I guess we've been saying this throughout the primary campaign. But he does not gravitate towards substantive issues. I think all of us in this room, even those who support Hillary,
more policy.
even those who support Hillary Clinton, as I look at Libby, you will agree that there are issues that you can go after her on.
Sure, there's issues you can go after everybody on.
Right, but he's not doing that.
No, but the thing is that it's been how many times are you going to talk about the same thing? Where she has been attacked for 20 years.
As long as it works. That's how many times.
If you can make somebody lose their cool and overreact, and it's very effective. That's what he did with Ted Cruz.
Right.
He, on the day of the last day of the primary,
saying his father had
a role in the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, but by that time he had lost. And
Cruz was very measured to be not measured.
Yeah.
And that will hurt Hillary if she blows up.
She won't.
I don't think she will. I mean, I think
she's too smart.
I think that's a technique.
So I know we've talked about this, but I'm interested in your take on this, Alan. It just seems to me, because I don't know that we've actually dissected it in this way, which is, so what we do have, we have Donald Trump as of yesterday on tape saying that this is awful and that Clinton was an enabler and Bill Clinton is a philanderer and that's disgusting and this is gross and blah, 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 blah. And then meanwhile, we have tape this morning, they're playing it left and right, of Donald Trump saying, I don't think Bill Clinton is getting it. There shouldn't have been impeached. It was just, you know, he's doing what he's got to do. It's no problem. And this is tape from that time. So does that come, do all of these things where he says one thing at one point and says another thing at another point, does that come back and haunt him?
No.
I agree. I think he's proven that.
I think his brand is that people will like me because I am inconsistent, because I can turn on a dime. They don't care. The WMC group write and say, can't we have more of a substantive policy-oriented discussion? And he's laughing all the way to the White House, he thinks.
He does seem to have a Teflon about that, or an uncanny ability to...
But is that going to last in the general election?
You know, it lasted a lot farther than many people had ever suspected.
I would even say all of us expected.
Well, yes, I agree.
But this is not... This is not... What he's harnessing here is anger. He's harnessing anger, the PC anger that so many people feel in this country. They can't tell a joke. They can't be funny. They can't say you look nice to their secretary in the morning. They can't do any of it. And that has got a lot of people very, very angry. This is not Alan endorsing that. This is Alan giving you an idea of what I think is going on here.
And then there's a whole other group of people that will navigate Donald Trump because they believe he's a good businessman and somehow are equating that with being a good economic leader. And the two are very different.
He'll discount the debt.
So meanwhile, Hillary Clinton yesterday said that I'm just going to run my campaign. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let him take care of himself because none of this is helping anybody. And I'll just keep on doing what I'm doing. Is that a good strategy?
No. I think people want a good fight, and they want to see that she's a good fighter. And I think that what they want to do is what'll happen here is that Hillary will get surrogates to do the dirty work.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
As they usually do.
Yeah. Right. And that's the right way to handle it. You know, she'll fight. She'll fight over policy. She'll fight over substantive issues. And he will be left floundering because he has no substantive background.
Mm. David Axelrod was on NPR yesterday saying that the problem with Hillary Clinton, not the problem, but he said, you know,
the challenges that she faces
is that it's not a one-word answer. She's a policy person who wants to give you a paragraph, and she wants to give you sentences on what she's doing.
We saw that with Michael Dukakis. We saw that with John Kerry running against W.
Sure. Yes.
You know, where W would answer a question in a couple of words that was more rhetorical, and Kerry would say, well, the Medicaid Act of 1994, you know, and people would kind of doze off. He might make a very good president, but he can't get elected because he bores people, you know, with policies talk. So it'll be an interesting dilemma.
I want to read from Al, who wrote an interesting letter that I think we should pay just a little attention to. Hillary does not have my respect. She should have dumped him. This is from a guy now. Bill's dalliance in the Oval Office publicly humiliated her. But she needs Bill's money. There's a word for her that begins with, I'm not going to say that.
Oh,
it's just
come
ridiculous.
On.
But no, what's important about this letter is not that it's dead wrong, but that
this is the way people look at
he
it.
Believes it.
Yeah. And I mean, there are women who believe that too. And
I also believe that people can never, ever, ever figure out the motivation of a relationship.
Right.
No, and I agree with you, Joe. Yeah. And
you don't know what goes on.
She has talked about it in her book. I mean, she's dealt with it. It was a terrible time of her life, and this is the decision she made at the time was to keep her marriage and basically not leave, and you can only take her at her word and not try to interpret what goes on because you don't know.
It may be that she actually loves him.
Yes, right.
And in many ways, they work very well together.
That he actually loves her, you know? And people
do their thing.
People make concessions in their relationships. It's just the way it is. And
I like that. I'm going to put that on my wall.
Okay.
Make concessions on their relationship, or your
epitaph. And yeah. She has decided to stay. Because they do love each other. They have a family, and so it's their business. You know, it's not the country's business. Although, I know I can say that it is going to be.
Robert says Bill Clinton, by philandering, gave the right wing all they need to take the high ground.
Go to Avenue K. And that house where the Republicans, they were all, a bunch of them were living together. It was like one big frat house with girls coming in and out all the time. The Republicans do not have the corner on the moral high ground around sex in office.
No, well, we can say that again. And Daisy says that last letter about Hillary and Bill is just pure sexism. Blech. Daisy.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that Utah is currently going for Hillary. They're not liking Trump. So at this point, the morals thing is playing better for Hillary than it is for Trump.
And even Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council, he's like, we're not giving him our support. He's not conservative enough for us.
Bates Motel.
Let's.
That's Anthony Perkins.
I know.
But close enough, let me tell you.
I know.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back. We'll figure out this whole psycho mess. Listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Ward's Nursery and Garden Center, Great Barrington, for peony, clematis, iris, coleus, lilac, verbenium, vegetables, and the tools to help them grow. WardsNursery.com. Shakespeare and Company, Lenox, Massachusetts, presenting Lauren Gunderson's comedy, The Taming, a play about a manipulative beauty queen with political aspirations, May 27th through July 30th, Shakespeare.org. Springbrook, Oneonta, New York, supporting people of all ages with developmental disabilities, working in schools, in homes, and in communities across New York to help individuals achieve independence. SpringbrookNY.org. And Lake George Kayak Company, a kayak, canoe, and stand-up paddleboard center providing sales, rentals, and lessons. LakeGeorgeKayak.com.
I sent out five or six stories last night, and there's one that I really like, so I'm going to bring it up in the last couple minutes of the show. I just think it's interesting. This is about Facebook burying conservative news. According to ex-staffers, they say that it is true. The great irony of the tech blog Gizmodo's revelation that Facebook's trending topic curators weeded out stories about Facebook or about issues popular with conservatives is that Gizmodo's story therefore likely won't end up on Facebook's list of trending topics. So this is basically what they're saying. Ex-staffers are saying that Facebook, those who would curate Facebook and the news feeds, would bury the story having to do with conservative issues and allowing those stories dealing with more progressive and liberal issues to go to the top as to the algorithm that you would be, that would be a part of this as part of your news feed.
Now, you said you like that story. Why do you like it?
Because I think it's interesting that, first of all, I've never really understood the algorithm that Facebook uses because
it's somewhat secretive.
It is secretive. And
I failed that course.
And you find a lot of things that are... I think it's an algorithm that is supposed to bring you the things that you're interested
right.
in through your
yeah.
searches and different things that you look at.
And your likes.
And I've always found it to sort of not be quite like that, which is interesting to me. And that you also, you hear from a lot of people on a lot of different topics, and then there's other people you're like, oh, I've never seen their thing.
Yeah.
I wonder why that
right.
is.
Well, part of it is how much you like other people's stuff, but the newsfeed thing is how much other people are clicking on these stories. So that's why it's trending, and they move up in the rankings. Just like with Google, it all moves up in the rankings. It's the same
sort of
thing.
But conservative stories trend also, and
according
to this
them.
Gizmodo
right.
revelation,
right.
Those
that
are being
don't.
Filtered out.
Right.
I'm so sorry. I know I'm an idiot, and I know I'm slow. But Modo, what's Modo?
Gizmodo.
That's the site that reported this.
Oh, I see.
They're the news.
Well, let me ask this rhetorical question. People have suspected all along, long before algorithms and other techniques, electronic trending techniques, that editors at newspapers with liberal and conservative bends have filtered the news and presented stories.
Right.
You know, Wall Street Journal versus the New York Times.
Or
right.
the Times Union.
Yeah.
Right.
Or the Times Union, for example. And when you would ask editors about it, they would become righteous and say, that's not true.
Right.
You know, yet you do see bends. You know, you do see the way that... filters are
well, Mike. I have
in every way that we all look at things.
Well, Mike, I have great respect for your newspaper, the Times Union, but I can tell you, you guys make decisions which are almost predictable. You will not take certain racy stories or or offensive stories to many people and put them on the front page. You put them on page four, they'll show up, but it won't be on page one.
They're professionals.
That's how we look at our audience and how we look at our role and look at our personality, and we
right.
do try to honor that, but we don't not run them.
No, that's
and,
right.
And yeah. the story yeah. is significant because, according to the latest surveys, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram are where so many people
mm-hmm.
are getting their
news
now
right.
and their news feeds, and that's where they're getting the news, which is why you see all of the major news sites, the Times Union included, but of course also the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and all the places that we just mentioned, feeding those sites
mm-hmm.
with
mm-hmm.
their stories. And if they break a story and they run it at 5 o'clock, it's out at 5 o'clock, and there it is. One clarification I want to make real quick is that what we're talking about here is the trending stories on your site. So on the right-hand side of your Facebook page, it'll say this is what's trending. And those stories that are trending are usually stories, according to this article, are usually stories with a more progressive liberal bent than would be, because the conservative stories are often played down.
What if you had answered all your likes, like you like Ronald Reagan and you like Donald Trump, and you, and all of your data indicates that you're
a member of the NRA, you have
right. Yeah. I mean, you trend, you know, you have that persona. Would the little box on the right bring you stories about, you know, First Amendment issues? And
well, I get all
topics?
Kinds of entertainment in mine.
Okay.
Justin Bieber's tattoo, Eva Mendes and Ryan Gosling just had another baby. So I'm not sure. Mm. You know, I mean, I like entertainment news, but I do post a lot of political stuff, and that much, I don't get that much political. Mm.
So it doesn't really necessarily, I guess, is what you found.
And meanwhile, Facebook denies all of it.
Right.
Right.
And does that story where they deny it show up in that little box on the right?
They say no.
Actually,
say no.
Actually, what you can do, I'm looking at my Facebook page. There's the top trends, and then there's politics trends. You can choose.
Yes.
Science and technology, sports, and entertainment.
Well, there you go.
So I just clicked on politics, and it's all politics. So.
Well, that is where we will end this morning. I thank you very much for being with us. We will have more conversation and more panel tomorrow. Mike, you'll be back.
Yes, I will.
Alan, you'll be back.
Oh, and I'll, we'll,
I'll be in James.
We'll see you. We'll see you next week. There, back to the grunting. Yeah. We'll be back with more roundtable after this.